We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Later on, we're going to talk about your mean Mercedes pitching. That's going to be a subject matter for sure once the White Sox game goes final. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We've had a really interesting first hour of the show. We talked about the Bears, and we talked a little bit about the Cubs, and we talked about the Super League forming and soccer. I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, man, we haven't had Deion Miller on in a minute, and we should like rectify that. So Herbie reached out, and Deion was available. She's actually on the Twitch right now, too, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore.
Twitch.
That's right. You can watch her on ABC7, holding down sports, and she's a friend of the show that joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park. You can check them out at apford.com. Hey, Deion.
Hi, Lawrence. How are you? It's nice to see your face.
Yeah, it's same here. It's nice to see your face as well. I see that you've got, like, is that the green screen? Am I seeing,
oh my gosh. This is an unmitigated disaster. But yes, I have a green screen because my son is trying to, he's 10, and he's trying to do a gaming channel. So he has a green screen where he's trying to, like, get him, like, do videos of him playing video games, which, I'm sorry. Mom has no time for that. And then over here is the gymnastics bar for the 6-year-old. And then just to my left is the sports corner that I've been broadcasting from for the last year plus. So this is working from home, Lawrence. And I'm dealing with a new camera and a ring light, and I'm trying to make it all look cool.
It does look cool. I dig when you do the sports corner. Like, I love your setup that you have when you're on ABC 7. It looks really good.
Well, I've moved around the house like 7 times, and this has been the corner's kind of been my jam for a while. I have the United States of Baseball behind me right now, my puzzle that I always have. I have a football one, and the hockey one we've been working on since Christmas is not done yet. But I'm hoping that, I mean, even when I'm not, you know, broadcasting from home, I just love the way they look. Like, I love them. So
I think it looks really good. And you've done the best of taking care of all of this stuff from home. Like, all of us have been trying to make sure that we can have a nice background when we're doing TV stuff or streaming stuff. So the fact that you, it's clear that you've taken a lot of time and effort to kind of figure out, well, how can I make this kind of look like it would look on set? I think is fantastic.
Well, thank you. And also trying to remain as unbiased as possible and balanced. So I'm like putting I'm making sure every team is represented. And like, I did. I'm an overthinker, Lawrence. This is not a newsflash.
That is very true. What do you make of how the Cubs have started this year?
You know, what's interesting is I started thinking about how we've had this conversation before, right? The bats are slow in April. It's cold at Wrigley. We've talked about this with this group before, but it feels different this time because it it feels like a heaviness that they're carrying. Now, I know that David Ross says that he doesn't, I don't really notice anything. I feel like you can see it on the field that they're frustrated. I feel like every time they come to the plate, they're not keeping it simple and just being themselves and getting back to the basics. They're trying to hit, 10 run homers. And I, especially Javi, like every time he's at the plate, I feel like he's trying to launch one into the lake and he can't calm down and just get a base hit. And I feel like that's, and we saw that on Saturday, there was so much excitement about finally getting things rolling. And then whatever that was last night happens against Kyle Hendricks, which is another reason that I feel like this is different, because it's Kyle Hendricks. Like he doesn't ever have outings like that. In fact, no Cubs pitcher's ever had an outing like that, but he isn't that inconsistent. And so that worries me. And I'm just not buying into this team being able to dig themselves out this year as they've done in the past.
I think that that's a really excellent way to look at it. Do they have the capacity to build off of what they already have and then kind of fight their way through this? And there's some missing components of it. And Hendricks, to me, if they are going to do it, he's got to be one of the best pitchers in the National League. Like, and two of his first three starts have been clunkers. So if it's not going to be him, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cubs should rely on Zach Davies, for example. Like, Kyle Hendricks is the guy that's the Cy Young candidate, the one that you have left after not bringing back Yu Darvish or trading Yu Darvish. So if he's not pitching well, I just think that it's really difficult for them to put together a long enough stretch of games where, if you're talking about like a 7-10 or an 8-12 type thing, to make themselves competitive.
I totally agree with you. And it would be different if the offense was hitting on all cylinders and you weren't seeing this like collective disaster at the plate. And if that was happening, then you could say, okay, well, Hendricks is off to a little bit of a slow start, but he finds his groove and the bats are there to support him. Suddenly they're able to put those things together. I don't see that happening either. And I am, by my own admission, an overreactor. So, I mean, we're very early into the season and I've already like tear everything down, rebuild it all. And yet at the same time, I feel like it is a different vibe this year, because it has to start with this pitching staff that, I mean, Jake's been okay, but it's early. Davies has been hit or miss. Williams has been hit or miss. And Adbert is a baby. So we're like waiting to see if he can be consistent. And I just think there's a lot of more question marks than there should be to start the season. And you know, that fast start they were dying to get off to is clearly not happening.
I keep trying to tell myself, like, to make sure that you recalibrate, that you're used to now, after what happened last season, this sprint, this 60-game season that the teams had. And a start like this probably keeps you from being a playoff team. Now you look at it as, okay, 10% of the season is over. Like 10%. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we're at right now before the Cubs start their series with the Mets. So I'm trying to recalibrate and make sure that I'm being fair to the Cubs, because there is so much time and so many games left to play. But it has been really ugly offensively for them, except for Saturday. And Saturday, I was like, okay, maybe they've exorcised some demons here.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, it was like, nah, that's not the case at all.
And I think that they're in their heads. Now, I think that they've gotten in their heads at the plate more. I don't necessarily think that about Bryant. I feel like KB has got his own thing going on with everything that's being talked about with him. And I see it more with Wilson and with Javi. And I know that Wilson has been hot of late, but I feel like it's either all of this emotion and we're launching balls out or there's nothing. They're not manufacturing any offense, Lawrence. Like they're not just finding a way to get runs across the plate. Like it's either a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. This is that you can't win that way. You can't win long term that way. And I agree with you though about recalibrating, because I do feel that they're even sensing this like urgency that we have to get it right now. And yet I look at a White Sox team that's hovering around 500 and I feel like, oh, they're going to be fine. There's lots of time. You know what I mean? I do feel like maybe it's a little bit of an unfair look at these two teams, that I'm putting more pressure on this Cubs team because of the core that's there. And the White Sox are like the fun, young, up and coming. It's like they've switched roles so much that you feel like you can give a little bit more grace to a young White Sox team that you know has the talent that's just going to keep getting better. You don't see that from the Cubs. You don't see that this is a group of guys that are going to get a lot better throughout the season. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I'm not going to lie to you, Dion, and we're talking with Dion Miller of ABC7 here on The Score. I'm concerned about them too. And today, I saw Merck had this note. Today was the seventh time that the White Sox had a chance to get above 500 so far this year. Right? Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, your mean Mercedes is pitching, Lawrence. Like, I mean, obviously today has not gone well. Oh, my gosh. I'm listening to Stoney, and he's like, well, he's doing pitcherish things. And you're like, oh, my word, he's not a pitcher. Like, this is a disaster. Today is just throw it in the lake. But that is telling. That is very telling. Seven times, and they haven't been able to do it. Wow. I'm stunned. I didn't realize that it had been that many opportunities to kind of get rolling, and they're not. I still think they're at the top of the division at the end of this season. I really do. But wow, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it really is a really crazy statistic. But I also wanted to ask you about the Bulls. Okay. And we're talking with Dion Miller of ABC7. Here's my thing with the Bulls. I had so much hope this season because it was new. Like I had the open up the fresh package of fruit, and you're like, oh, that smells delightful. Like all of that stuff, because there was so much new stuff that was going on with the Bulls. I never once contemplated them not making this version of the playoffs. Now that's a possibility.
Right. Of course it's a possibility. And Zach LaVine is out for how long? We're not sure. At least what, five more games? And four or five more games, and they haven't had consistent practice time to try to figure out how to play together. I was so excited on trade deadline day. I think everybody was. It was okay. Two All-Stars on the Bulls? Is this real? And then they get just beat up. It's unbelievable. Lose five in a row. That's just crazy. And they're not making excuses, but it isn't how I saw it unfolding either. I thought that they would get progressively better, and they haven't. And I'm glad they snapped their skin against the Cavaliers. But holy Lord, it's the Cavaliers. Like these are games you should be winning anyway. And to have Billy Donovan say out loud, we shouldn't think we can beat anybody right now. It's like, wow, we're late in a season, and that's what you're saying about this team that has been rebuilt throughout the year and has moved things around. I understand there's some grace and space for that, but good heavens, that you'd think you'd start to see them start to come together, and they're not. And it's very disappointing.
It is. And not having Zach there obviously changes the dynamics of how you're going to score. But and you're right about Donovan, too, who overall I've really enjoyed. But I think that there were a couple of things that he said over the last couple of weeks. You pointed to one of them. And the other one is the way he kind of dismissed Markkanen and Kobe. Like, oh, you know, we're not drawing up plays for them. They're not featured players for us anymore. Well, guess what they are now? Now right. They're featured players because you need scoring. And I wonder if that was a miscalculation by him on two players that he doesn't see in the Bulls' future. And I can understand that. But in the present, and they've made it clear that they want to make the playoffs this year.
Right.
That right. Maybe he made a miscalculation on the engagement level of those two players for the rest of the way.
And I think about Kobe White and how young he is, and hearing that from his head coach. Now, how that impacts him or how that makes him feel as he's trying to like navigate now that he is suddenly needed and maybe not knowing or feeling that he's part of the long-term future. And that unknown, I think, is frustrating. I mean, same with Lowry. I mean, Markkanen has been in trade rumors, out of trade rumors, injured, healthy, like nothing has been smooth about his Bulls career. And now he's at a point where there's so many question marks about their future and how much does that impact how they play on the court? I'm not sure, but it's frustrating to me because I feel like they have the pieces there to be clicking at this time of the year and to kind of be moving forward once Zach comes back, and it just hasn't happened. Now, I think it will. I think Vooch is the right addition. I think they can complement each other, but But gosh, they are. They're counting on making the playoffs this year. And I don't know if that's going to happen now.
Yeah, I don't know either. And not having Zach to kind of bail you out in some of those late game situations is going to be rough. I can't let you go knowing how much time you've spent over the last few years covering the Bears. I can't let you go without a thought on what's already happened with them bringing in QB1, Andy Dalton, and what might happen next week at the draft.
You know, what's funny is someone asked me the other day, like, do you cheer for teams to win or whatever? And they would ask me like how I cover all the different teams in our city. And I said, the only team that I'm like legit snarky about is the Bears. Like they make me so frustrated and they are stuck in NFL mediocrity. And you know, when the rumors came out about Russell Wilson, wasn't that a fun, like 24 hours to just pretend? Because that's all it was, Lawrence. That was not real life. Okay. Real life is Andy Dalton. That is real life. That is the Band-Aid that's going to get them to the next quarterback, which how do you let Ryan Pace make this decision again? Because Mike Glennon called and said, yeah, they called me QB1 as well. And then they brought in another guy who wasn't QB1 either. Now they're bringing in another guy who is, as I've deemed Andy Dalton, a generic Band-Aid, right? Like it'll stick at first, but then it's just going to rip when it's put under pressure. That's what he is. And now they don't have anyone they're grooming to come up behind him. Like, what and they're going to find that in the draft at 20th overall, and they're going to let Ryan Pace trade up to number 4, and they're going to trust him to make this decision again? Like, where is the logic there? Wow, I'm fired up. I think I'm sweating. I'm so fired up. They can't screw this up next week. They have to be very diligent about what direction they're going to go here. Quarterback is where they have swung and missed for decades. It is time to figure out how to get it right, and jobs need to be on the line for this. And I think there is some pressure, but gosh, when they talk to us, it's kind of like, no, we're just going to look forward. We're not going to talk about why we moved up to draft Mitch Trubisky, and he's now a backup, which is where he was supposed to be all along, but we're not going to talk about what went wrong there. Well, you know what, Ryan? We kind of have to, because you set the franchise back, and now here we are, nowhere. We're just stuck. Follow the road to 8-8. That's what we talk about all the time. There's nowhere to go.
Well, 8-9 now.
8-9 now. Yeah. See, it's worse. It's worse.
Dion, I honestly believe, I'm pretty sure I can see Herbie in the studio in the Zoom. I'm pretty sure he marked all of this for the open for tomorrow's show of you talking about the Bears. I think that you did an incredible job of encapsulating Bears fans' feelings about this franchise. You did it passionately and succinctly. You did it a lot better than me screaming at everybody for 20 minutes like I did a few weeks ago. You did it with a smile, a wink, and a nod for 2 minutes, and you pretty much, you captured it. You captured everything that has been wrong about the Bears and what continues to be wrong about the Bears.
I told you, they make me snarky. It's bad. I can't handle it.
What's coming up tonight on ABC7?
Oh, Lawrence, I have no idea because I'm off today. This is my first day off in like literally since April 7th, not to complain, but there was a long stretch where they needed me to be working, which is great. So I am off today, but I'm sure we're going to recap your Mean Mercedes pitching debut this season. And then I love a day like this though, Lawrence, because gosh, that Hawks game tonight is so huge in Nashville. So that's going to be fun. The Bulls are back in action. The Cubs play tonight. There's stuff going on. Those are my favorite days. Saturday was so much fun. We had even the Fire were playing. I mean, there was just stuff to talk about, and that's what makes our city so great. That's why I love my job. Days like today make me smile. So I'm sure that Jim Rose will have all of that covered tonight on ABC7.
Yes. All right. I did not know it was your day off. I would not have asked you to come and hang out with us and knowing it was your day off.
Lawrence, I am a mother. There are no days off. Okay. So it's no problem at all.
Dion, you are the best. I love when you visit the show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Anytime, anytime. Thanks for having me.
That is Dion Miller of ABC7. She is so like great, man. I love talking with Dion. Like she's the business, yo. And am I lying or did she not totally like encapsulate how you feel about the Bears? Like Dion broke it down in like 2 minutes. She didn't need to be screaming in front of a microphone doing Ryan Pace impersonations. She just told you the truth about what's going on with this team. Oh, Danny Mendick is pitching now?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Her thing about the Band-Aid, the Andy Dalton is a generic Band-Aid. Oh, my God. Yeah. Away with words. Just see, perfect.
Here's the beautiful thing about Deion. Because, you know, if I get mad and I start, you know, I try not to do that thing anymore, Herbie. Like, it happens occasionally. Like, I talk about having the driver in the bag. With Deion, it's done with this smile. She didn't raise her voice. And it's almost like she did all of this while serving you like a warm apple cider. Like, it's like you were at Deion's house and she's like bringing cider to the table. And she's like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the Bears. And as she like goes back and forth to everyone that's sitting around the table, she just tore them apart. And she did it in such an elegant way. Damn, she's good at this broadcasting thing. And there's a lot of amens coming across the text line and Twitch. A lot of amens. But see, I think I like Deion's way better. I wish I could do that more effectively because that's the way to do it. Here's some warm apple cider. And let me tell you about your football team. So great. So great. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, I imagine we will talk a little bit about the White Sox because that game will mercifully be over. And there was a retirement today at some point we need to talk about. And there was something super cool from the series between the Cubs and the Braves that I do want to talk about. I'll do that next. Here on-
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
So it is over on Patriots Day in Boston, and the White Sox got their doors blown off in this game. Ooh. Yermin Mercedes pitched, and then Danny Mendick pitched. Those things are like less cute to me now than maybe they're less cute to me because there's a level of expectations with the White Sox. But yeah, they lost 11-4, and Lucas got tatered in the first inning. What did he end up throwing 50 pitches in that first inning? It was close to that. But they were waiting for him, and they were waiting on the changeup with Lucas Giolito, and they sat on it, and they pounded it. I'm curious to what he says about the start today, like what he took from it and why he thinks he got beat so bad. Here's Lucas's line. One inning, 8 hits, 8 runs, 7 earned, 2 walks, 2 home runs for him. And in that one inning, yeah, he threw, well, it was inning plus. He threw 54 pitches total, 39 for strikes. There was one guy who had like a 16-pitch at bat. And guys, they weren't even really homering him to death. It was just kind of like, oh, single, single, double, that sort of thing. They were prepared. And I know a lot of people will look at their manager and be like, I bet they were prepared. But if that's the case, you know, then they wouldn't have got shoved in a doubleheader yesterday. But today, you're thinking this ends up being great for the White Sox. You're like, this is exactly the setup that you wanted. You sweep the doubleheader. You play well in the doubleheader. You have your ace going to the mound. Early start. I know it's bizarre. It's weird. It was weird for me. Like, it completely threw me off. As I was sitting here going, oh, well, let's go through all of my prep stuff that I usually get ready to do. And there happens to be a game on. And that first inning took forever. Forever. So the White Sox are back under 500. And Merck said this before the game. This is the seventh time they were trying to get above 500 already this season. And they haven't been able to do that. But you give up six runs in the first inning, it's hard to bounce back. I don't know. Someone had texted it into me, and I was looking at something else. Did Madrigal at some point today try to bunt?
Yes, the White Sox, I believe, were down by eight runs. He was starting off the inning, and he tries to lay down a bunt down third base. The guy already hit a triple. He's one of the guys that doesn't strike out that much, which I think he did later in the game. But what's the point? Why? Why are we bunting? Hit away, you jerk.
That doesn't make any damn sense.
His baseball IQ during his short career is a little bit above zero. A little bit above zero. He doesn't have common sense, common baseball sense, and it irritates the hell out of me. And they're not correcting it either because he continues to make mistakes. Not rookie mistakes, just I'm not smart at baseball.
Like cutting in front of TA on a ball that's going away from you when trying to make a play at first.
Exactly.
The only person who's going to even possibly be able to make that play is TA. Like, that's it. Like, that's why you play second base. Like, you don't have the arm strength to jeter it across on like a jump step. You're right about him. He wasn't the big problem today, but I do think it's weird that he was bunting in a game where you're down eight runs at the time. That's weird, but not unprecedented for Mr. 3000.
But what do you think about, since Lucas had a bad day, you can wrap this up as a bullpen day. And maybe you don't have a pitcher going on Wednesday because of the Lance Lynn IL stint. Maybe having Lucas coming back out, even just as a starter, and making that like a bullpen day slash start.
I mean, they don't have an off day until Thursday. That ends that stretch, that crazy stretch. I think it was 11 games with no off days for the White Sox. I don't know if you can afford to do that because of the Lance Lynn thing, where you don't want to now like completely throw everybody off. And Lynn is only supposed to miss one start, which is good. He's only supposed to miss one start. But then you have questions about, well, yeah, he is the guy that piles up pitches early on. And did going deeper into games, did that play a role in what issues he's having now? Or is this a cumulative effect of him being a guy that's always around the 100 pitch mark? Or is it just a thing that happened? And it's the thing that happened with Lance Lynn. I would be tempted to make some corrections with Lucas. And you've got to find, this strikes me as an opportunity for Lopez to come out here and start, doesn't it?
I mean, I guess so, but we know that we know what that movie's all going to be about. I would rather give a guy like Jonathan Stever a chance. I know he pitched last year. He was way above his head, but I'm done with Ronaldo Lopez. I know what I got from him. He's not getting better. Give me Jonathan Stever. Maybe give him a little seasoning. If he goes 3-4, cool. Let's do a bullpen game. But Lopez, you know it's going to be a bullpen game, even though you're expecting better and different.
Hey, man, maybe they, Ethan Katz has gotten Reynaldo and been like, let's see if we can tap into all of that potential.
He's a Schomburg boy, so he'll come up and do work, right?
That's what the Schomburg boys are all about. They're all about it. I do not understand the people on the text line that just love them some Nick Madrigal and can't tell the truth about him not being as advertised when it comes to the baseball smarts. He's a good hitter. He is a solid contact man, which again is like, just hit the ball. Just hit the ball, fam. Just go do that. The White Sox leave Boston and they head to Cleveland. So that'll be interesting for sure. But you're mean out there pitching today. I'm glad that he didn't look like he got hurt. Mendick, they can just do the thing where they send him away again. Going back to Schaumburg, Danny. TA's back and we're good. Yermin actually had more miles per hour than I was expecting. He got up there like 87, 88 at one point, and it was really interesting because everything is calibrated for real starting, like real pitchers. So he threw like a fastball, and it was like changeup 87. No, that's a fastball for him. And that's an impressive fastball from a guy that's not a pitcher by trade. Anyway, about the Cubs series this weekend, I really enjoy, it's a small thing, and maybe it's because I'm getting older and I'm more sensitive to it. I really enjoyed seeing Freddie Freeman and Jason Hayward like interact with each other. Like, those two guys have known each other since they were like 19 years old. And it is clear like that they love each other. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, I used to play with this guy. Like, this is like, that's my man. And I appreciated that. Like, them sharing like that part of the game and like genuinely being excited to hang out. Freddie Freeman seems like the type of dude that you'd want to hang out with.
And I enjoyed, Frederick! Freddie!
I enjoyed him and Rizzo like doing interactive stuff too. I thought that was really cool. And then, you know, I like when Baez and Lindor do that thing where you have two guys that are really competitive, but they appreciate the other dude. And that's how it came off on the weekend between Freeman and Hayward. And I just liked it. As a fan of the game, I really, really liked it. We're going to take a break. I want to talk about Alex Smith next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Alex Smith announced his retirement today, and I could not be happier for him. Now he can do whatever the next thing is that he's going to do. Maybe it ends up being coaching at some point. A lot of people think that he has the wherewithal to be able to do that. If you have not seen Project 11, you should. But be aware, it is gruesome because they give you up-close access to what his injury was like and the infections that happened in his leg, and you see it. It is a lot to deal with. So I give him a lot of credit for wanting to come back to football and then making it all the way back to being a starter for a few games here or there, and of course then he ended up getting hurt at the end of the season. I am also happy that he is retired from the standpoint of the Bears, because now Bears fans don't have to go, well, maybe they should go and see if they can bring Alex Smith into the Bears. He knows Nagy's system. No, this was a player that was close to the end, and the injury just kind of exacerbates all of that stuff. And if you want him to be a coach, then have him be a coach. Don't pay yet another quarterback to be a quarterback coach when you can pay someone far less than NFL minimum to do that. And now the only thing will be, which will Bears fans gravitate towards more? Trying to convince Alex Smith to come out of retirement to rescue their football team, or trying to convince Andrew Luck to come out of retirement to rescue their football team? Neither one of those things is going to happen, but it will be interesting to see which way Bears fans lean on this. I'll talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
T-Mobile T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.